Okay, today's reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
Church, could we just stand and we're just going to raise our hand towards John just for 1 minute and we just pray? It's challenging time, especially with Grimethorpe building. So we just put our hands towards John and we'll just say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, we just release your servant before you in Jesus' name. Father, John is just about to preach, to share your words, Lord. We just pray that the words of his mouth, Lord, and the meditation of our heart, all that to be said, will be acceptable in your sight, and we will be fed on the manna from heaven. Bless John, strengthen him, and let your angels always dwell around him, Father, both him and Trisha and their wider family. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just release the words, Lord, that you will season his tongue in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much indeed, Paulette, and everyone who's participated. Let's look at God's word together, because it's so important that we listen and we learn from God's word. So if you come here regularly or you watch the live stream regularly, you'll know that I started a few weeks ago a new sermon series on Jesus is for everyone from the Gospel of Luke. And last time we were looking at Jesus is sent by God for everyone, based on Luke chapter 2 and 3, focusing on Jesus, the Son of God, sent by God to save sinners like us. This time we're looking at Jesus tempted like us in Luke 4. So Jesus was not only the Son of God, he was also the Son of Man. He was fully God, he was fully man. So Jesus is not so fully God that he cannot identify with us, praise God, that he cannot understand us. And Luke chapter 4 tells us that Jesus experienced very real and powerful temptations. Jesus was tempted like us. And Jesus struggled to overcome those temptations. Put up your hand if you struggle with temptations. If you haven't got your hand up, you are struggling with the temptation to lie right now. Because the reality is we all struggle with temptations. And Jesus knows and understands our struggle with temptations. Hebrews 4 verse 15 tells us, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Praise God. Jesus gained the victory over his temptations, and he can help us to gain the victory over our own temptations as well. And the first thing to emphasize is Jesus was not tempted because he was in the wrong place or at the wrong time or that he'd walked away from God's plan, or that he'd given the devil a foothold in his life. Jesus, in this story, is exactly where God wanted him to be. He's just been baptized. God the Father has just affirmed him from heaven when those words are said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Luke 3 verse 1 tells us that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. That he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. The devil didn't lead Jesus to the place where he was tempted. It was the Holy Spirit. To test him. To test his obedience. To prepare him for the bigger attacks and persecution he would face in the future. You see, God never tempts us. But God does test us to see if our faith is strong. To see if we will obediently follow him or whether we will just give in to the temptations around us. Being tempted is not a sin. Please understand that. It's scary, some of the things that can cross our mind. You know, the wicked and evil thoughts that enter our minds, or is it just me? No, it's amazing, those thoughts, but those are not sins. It's sin when you do something in obedience to those thoughts. Being tempted is not a sin, but to give it into those temptations is sin. And we all know that sin and temptation to sin is very, very powerful. I wonder if you know the traditional way that an Eskimo kills a wolf. I'll apologize because this is a very gory, bloodthirsty, blood-filled story. But it illustrates the self-destructive power of temptation and sin and how it can consume and destroy our lives. What the Eskimo does, if he wants to kill a wolf, is he takes his Eskimo knife and he takes another animal with which has just been freshly killed and he coats the blade of the knife in the blood of the animal. He then puts it outside and very quickly that blood freezes to the knife blade. And he keeps on repeating this with fresh blood and maybe some skin and other bits and pieces until the blade of that knife is covered with layers of blood, animal blood and bits of skin and everything else. He then fixes the knife to a pole or a post in the ground really securely. And he leaves it overnight. And what happens is the wolf has an amazing sense of smell. And the wolf can smell the blood on the knife from far away. It's tempted by that smell. And it comes and it discovers the knife. Only it doesn't know it's a knife. And so it's the wolf starts to lick the blood off the knife. And it licks and it licks and it loves this taste of the blood, the animal blood on the knife. And eventually, of course, it doesn't realize that the blood it's tasting is its own blood. Because the pain of the knife cutting into his tongue, he doesn't recognize that. He's just consumed with a desire for more and more blood. And the Eskimo returns in the morning to find a dead wolf lying in the snow who's literally drunk his own blood and died through loss of blood. It's very simple, very effective. You can go out and be sick now if you want, but you know, temptation. You know, that wolf just craves more. Just craves more. And you know, temptation is an incredibly powerful force in our lives. We all face temptation. We all face cravings. We all face desires daily. And some of those temptations, we hardly realize are temptations And we just start licking the knife. And before long, we can be driven by our desires. We can be driven by our cravings into addiction and self-destruction, because that's what the wolf does. It destroys itself. The Eskimo doesn't even have to go near it. It destroys itself. And you know, we don't have to look to the frozen wastes of Eskimo territory to see how temptation can lead to addiction and self-destruction. Every day at our site on Spittle Hill, we see the tragedy of drug addicts and alcoholics with their uncontrolled cravings and desires that are destroying their lives. We see the destruction of their lives in front of our own eyes, in just the same way as a wolf licks the knife. But then, if we are honest with ourselves, we can see how temptation and uncontrolled desires and cravings are destroying our own lives too. You see, it's easy to look at others, isn't it? And we forget sometimes to look at ourselves and realize that those temptations begin to destroy our own lives. For you, it may not be drugs or alcohol. It might be an uncontrollable desire and cravings for food, for sexual fulfillment, for money, for possessions, for gambling, for video gaming, for pornography, for sport, for gossip, for manipulation, for power and position, for educational qualifications, for ambitions, and so the list should just go on. Because those temptations can begin to get a grip on our lives. They may not be as socially unacceptable as other addictions. They may even be able to be hidden all your life. But they can be just as self-destructive. They can be just as sinful. So how can we overcome temptations? What can we learn from Jesus overcoming temptation in Luke chapter 4? The devil's first temptation of Jesus is actually to be independent of God. Now, you could preach lots of different sermons on these verses. I just want to focus on these three temptations that are presented to Jesus. So the first one is a temptation to be independent of God. Jesus, it tells us, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." You see, Jesus was hungry and physically weak. He was craving food. Nothing wrong with that craving of food in that sense. The devil tempts Jesus to use his unique power to satisfy his own desires. Rather than waiting on God his Father to provide his needs, to actually use his power to turn stones into bread. And that is the problem with temptation. It drives us to selfishly satisfy our cravings and our desires now. We want it now, don't we? We can't wait. We want it now. And temptation won't let us wait. It demands our lusts and our desires are met now, right now. And we become driven by our lusts and desires. We do what we want now rather than wait for God to provide. And that is independence from God. You know, the signature tune of hell is, "I did it my way. I did it my way." How does Jesus overcome this powerful temptation? By reasserting his dependence on God. He quotes God's word back at the devil. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus is saying, "I may be hungry, I may be craving food, but I know that bread alone will not satisfy. I am depending on God and his word for my provision. I will not be forced by the devil to satisfy my own cravings and desires." Did you know the devil is the greatest con man? He really is. Think back just for a moment. This may not be edifying particularly, but just think back for a moment to the last big temptation that you fell for. Just think a bit for a moment. The reason that you fell for that temptation was the temptation was telling you that if only you had the thing that you were craving, you would be satisfied. And you fell for that temptation and you believed the lie. Were you satisfied as that temptation promised? No way. No way. You may have received a few moments of gratification and satisfaction, but it only actually gave you an increased craving and lust for more. Because that's the problem with temptation. The devil says, if only you have this, you will be satisfied. So you go down that route and you get what you think will satisfy you. Does it satisfy you? No. It never does, because you always want more and more and more. That's the way temptation works. I can't get no satisfaction. I used to dance to that before I was a Christian. No. I can't get no satisfaction. You know, it's true. If you follow temptations and lusts and desires, you will never, ever be satisfied, because satisfaction only comes through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Only comes from God himself. The devil cons you. Just have one drink. Just have one drug. Just one porn site. One bet. One whatever. And you will be satisfied. And it's a con, because one is never enough, is it? One is never enough. One never satisfies. You always lust for more. And in Luke 4, the devil knows Jesus' situation. He knows that his apparent weakness, that Jesus was weak, that Jesus was hungry at this point. Do you know the devil knows your weaknesses? The devil knows your weaknesses. He targets you with temptations that you are susceptible to. He tailors your temptations to your areas of vulnerability. He will not tempt you on something that you are strong in. He will not tempt you in something that you're not interested in. He tempts us all on our vulnerabilities, the things that are our weaknesses, whatever they may be, and we go towards those things. So resist the temptation to be independent. Depend on God and his word, and don't be driven by your desires and weaknesses. The second temptation is quicker. The quick and easy option. The quick and easy option. The devil led him up to a high place, this is verse 5, and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, says the devil, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus knew that he himself was God's Messiah. He knew that he had been given a mission by God. He knew that he would have to suffer and die a sacrificial death on the cross to save sinners like us. Jesus had the toughest assignment God has ever given to anyone. How tempting it must have been for Jesus to take the quick and easy option. He could get all the splendor, he could get all the glory without the suffering and death. All he had to do was to bow down and worship the devil. Do you sometimes get frustrated with God? Most of us do. Most of us say, why do I have to go through all this suffering? Why do I have to go through all this hassle and stress and grief and negative things to get to glory? Why can't I have an easy life? And if I had £10 for everyone, every Christian who said to me, why can't I have an easy life? I'd be a very wealthy man. I'd probably be succumbing to some of my other temptations. You see, God doesn't offer us shortcuts. He doesn't offer us easy options to follow him. He never intended to. The devil offers shortcuts. The devil offers us easy options. And you know what? They always lead to dead ends. Think about that for a moment. They always lead to dead ends. The end will be death. Jesus told us, take up our cross daily and follow him. That involves hard work and sacrifice. Sometimes it means that we have to walk hard and difficult and painful and treacherous and narrow roads with Jesus. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him in the narrow way. God allows sometimes adversity into our lives to make us stronger. Jesus is honing our character formation so that we become more like Jesus. It's like the pearl in the oyster. It's an irritant. Are there irritants in your life which God is actually using to actually produce something more beautiful in your life through the irritant that is there? Don't be tempted by the devil's shortcuts. Don't be tempted by false promises of an easy life, of health and wealth and prosperity. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only, says Jesus. And then the third temptation. The third temptation that Jesus faced was to test God. Verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God, to the test. Many of us here might think that we would never test God. No, I'll never test God. But many Christians and non-Christians do test God. Many non-Christians have said to me, you know, I tried God, I tried Christianity, but it never worked for me. And when I ask them what they mean, they often say, well, I tried praying, but God never answered my prayers, or God never spoke to me. And they were wanting God to do some miracle for them or answer a specific prayer to prove to them that God exists. But even if God had answered the prayer that they prayed, they would have said, oh, it's just coincidence. It's amazing, isn't it? People come to you in a terrible state and they ask you to pray for them, and then God works in their situation and they say, oh, I don't think it was anything to do with God. I think it was just coincidence. No, in fact, sometimes they are even proud, you know, I worked it out myself. I wonder where that came from. Amazing. The religious people of Jesus' day were unbelieving of Jesus. Do you realize that? Most of the religious people, the religious leaders, were unbelieving of Jesus. They were always asking Jesus for signs and wonders and miracles to prove that he was God. God doesn't need to prove his existence to us. He doesn't have to put on a show to impress us. He simply calls us to believe in him, to believe in his death on the cross for our sin, to experience the miracle of new birth and transformation through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've known many Christians who have said, you know, I'll only keep believing in Jesus if he heals my dad or heals my wife or heals my child. But, you know, that's trying to test and manipulate God. It doesn't work like that. God never promises to do what we want. He promises to do his will, praise God. He calls us to keep believing, to keep following him, whether God answers our prayers or not. And that's tough. That's hard. But it's part of being honed to be more like Jesus. Many Christians are insecure about God. And when we're insecure, we're very susceptible to the devil's temptation to test God. The problem is, the devil is always encouraging us to doubt our faith in God. Now, since the beginning of time, he's been saying, did God really say? That was his words to Eve in the garden. Did God really say? He adds to that, it won't matter if you sin that little sin. It won't matter. And of course, you do that little sin, and you discover that, you know, there isn't a thunderbolt from heaven, and you don't get wiped off the face of the earth, and you think, well, maybe it doesn't matter anymore. God won't really punish you for your sin. All of these words are the words that the devil puts into us. I remember a specific time and place when I was at Bible college studying theology. I was going to Bible college was probably one of the worst experiences of my life in some ways, but God clearly led me there, but it was one of the toughest. And I was going through a tough time personally. I wasn't very well physically. I'd been assaulted by liberal theology, sociologists, philosophers who questioned everything I believed about Jesus and the Bible and God's promises and the sovereignty of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and so the list could go on. And I remember a specific time when I was confronted with a choice. And I knew at that moment that I could choose to continue to believe and follow Jesus and his word, or I could reject Jesus and Christianity altogether. And I'm thankful that at that crisis point in my life, I chose to follow Jesus. But I have to say that sadly, some of my fellow students, Bible college students, chose to reject Jesus and the truth of Christianity, and they lost their faith. But why did I choose to follow and believe the truth of Jesus? And I'll tell you the one reason I did it. Because I knew that God had worked in my life. And only God could have transformed my life as he had. And only Jesus has the words of eternal life. Only he has the power of eternal life. You know, I did not understand, and I want to say to you as your pastor, I still do not understand much about God and the way he works. I don't understand why God sometimes wonderfully answers our prayers and other times doesn't. I don't understand why God allows so much suffering in the world and so many other questions that I have, which I will hope to dare to ask when I see him in the Lord. But in the words of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed to him against that day, or until that day. Praise God. Don't be tempted to be independent of God. Don't choose the quick and easy options. Don't test God. Rather believe in him, trust in him, have faith in him, worship him, serve him, and follow him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Praise God. Father God, Lord, we have all admitted that, Lord, we face temptations. We are human. We are weak. Lord, sometimes we're pathetic. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would so fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would enable us, Lord, to make our stand, to take our stand in those temptations that we particularly struggle with. Lord, we thank you that you are a forgiving God. Lord, I thank you for your death on the cross for our sin. And Lord, as we think of our temptations, Lord, as we think of our sins, Lord, even our worst sins, Lord, the sins that we struggle with, Lord, sometimes we used to call them besetting sins, addictions, whatever they may be. Lord, I thank you that you died on the cross to pay the price and the punishment for each one of those sins. And so, Lord, we can celebrate the amazing grace and mercy of God that you do not treat us as our sins deserve. But Lord, help us to stand strong. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would help us to find victory over temptation. that, Lord, we may indeed believe in you, trust in you, have faith in you, worship you, serve you, and follow you for the rest of our days, Lord, we pray. Lord, we ask it by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.